Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
You don't get over hurdles by jumping to conclusions.
Well, I've got to admit that being a little hasty can have dire results.
Well, you know what they say, less haste, more speed.
Yes, but they also say time and tide wait for no man. What do you say to that, Mrs. Greenwood?
Well, I've been waiting so long, it's about time I was tied. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. You're so sorry.
Greenwood has as her special guest today the distinguished actor, one of the stars of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Weekend at the Waldorf, Mr. Edward Arnold. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Charlotte is raising the three Barton youngsters, little Robert and teenage Jack and Barbara. Matilda Hamilton, the mayor's wife, has stopped by the house to discuss the old clothes drive. Aunt Charlotte is saying,
Matilda, I've had this bundle of old clothes ready for days. What happened to the man you said was going to call?
I can't understand it, Charlotte. I told him how to get here. I told him exactly what the house looks like. I even told him exactly what you look like.
No wonder he hasn't arrived yet.
Well, I'll see that he gets over here this afternoon. You know, he's doing some gardening work in the neighborhood. And incidentally, if you need any gardening work done, this fellow's pretty good.
I may need him at that. Jack promised to do it, but he's tied up trying to make the football team.
Yeah, I saw him out in the field the other day. Now, that boy is all right.
Yesterday, I watched him in a practice game. He dashed down the field, crossed the 50-yard line, ran past the 40, down to the 20, ducked around the safety van, and went right across the goal line.
Good for him.
It's too bad he wasn't carrying the ball.
Well, Charlotte, one thing at a time.
Well, now, what did you think of the Army game last week?
Say, by the way, how did that come out? I remember that at the end of the first half, the score was 49-0, favor Army.
In the middle of the third quarter, the whole team quit, walked off the field, left the Army.
But what happened?
They had 60 points.
Charlotte, I've just got to run along now, and I have to see the other committee members of the old clothes drive.
Well, don't forget to send that gardener over for this bundle of clothes I've got for him.
No, I won't.
And if he wants something for his wife, there's a dress of mine she can have.
Charlotte, you don't think a dress of yours would fit anybody else, do you?
No, but she can cut it up for a pair of drapes, a table runner, or a hall carpet.
To the door.
I'm making a pie and I'm up to my elbows in flour.
Yeah? Just on the way to Marquette, Miss Greenwood.
Well, did you take a bottle to get the turpentine in?
Yeah. Got an old vinegar bottle.
See who that is, Sylvester. And don't forget to take the label off that bottle and don't forget to get everything I told you.
Yes, Miss Greenwood. Hello there.
Well, how do you do? I want to see Miss Greenwood. My name is Jonathan P. Reynolds. Tell her I'm the new attorney for the Barton estate.
Let's see now. Turpentine, squash.
Look here, I said my name was Jonathan.
Apples, cranberries, lemon.
I want to see Miss Greenwood.
String beans, rhubarb, celery.
Will you pay attention, young man? I'm in a hurry.
Nuts. More nuts.
I'm trying to tell you I want to see Miss Greenwood about the Barton estate.
I'm sorry.
It's very... Huh? Now,
Can't talk too much. On the way to Marquette.
What's that got to do with it?
Don't forget what I'm getting. No. Cook can't cook without what to cook. Mm-hmm.
Who is it, Sylvester?
That man's here. To know if I can remember everything. I don't know.
Well, of all the
soup. Oh, how do you do? I'm sorry, my hands are covered with flowers. I'm making a pie.
Oh, how do you do? I just saw Mrs. Hamilton a few minutes ago.
Mrs. Hamilton, of course, you must be the...
I'm Jonathan P. Reynolds, and I'm in a hurry. Are you the only one at home?
Yes, at the moment.
Well, I know you cooks are always busy, but... Huh? say, I've never seen her. What she's like.
Who?
Your boy, Charlotte Greenwood. Go on, tell me, what's the old girl like?
Oh, you mean that old girl?
Yeah. Is she hard to work for?
Oh, no, whatever I say goes. Yeah, she's absolutely helpless. She can't get up without me, can't get dressed without me. She can't lift a finger without me.
Understand, she's an actress.
Well, there have been rumors to that effect.
You know... I think I saw her on the stage when I was a boy.
Well, she must have been an old hag then.
You said it. You know, she must really be an antique by now.
Well, she can still do a nifty jitterbug if somebody holds her up. But, Mr. Reynolds, here are the old clothes for you.
Huh? Old clothes? Yeah, I don't want somebody else's old clothes.
Now, Mr. Reynolds, if it's just a matter of pride...
I had nothing to do with it.
Of course not, and you mustn't feel that way about it. Winter's coming, and these things will keep you warm.
Well, confounded woman, what's the matter with you? Can't you understand I didn't come here for handouts of old clothes?
Now, but Mrs. Hamilton, you said that she sent you here.
I came here to see Charlotte Greenwood. When I do see her, I'm going to tell her exactly how you and that Sylvester...
Oh, Mr. Reynolds, you are telling her.
Are you trying to palm off an absurd joke on me?
Oh, I wouldn't try to palm me off on anybody. Mr. Reynolds, I'm Charlotte Greenwood, and hidden beneath this kitchen apron beats the heart of the old hag herself.
What? You mean you good grief. I thought you were the cook.
Well, I can understand that.
Oh, the way I insulted you, you know, it just goes to show that people who make mistakes are stupid, ignorant morons.
Yes, I mistook you for a gardener.
No, really? Well, I'm Jonathan P. Reynolds, the new attorney for the Boston.
Oh, gracious. I've been waiting for you to call for weeks.
Oh, Miss Greenwood. Can you ever forgive me?
Well, I...
I mean, calling you an antique and all that. Hey, you're not really so ancient.
No, no. It'll be a few more years before this Greenwood is as old as a redwood.
Miss Greenwood, you're being very nice about it, but I should apologize for being so gruff. I always get that way when I miss my lunch, which I seem to do quite regularly.
Well, it's 3:00. You mean you haven't had any lunch?
No, I didn't have time. There was never so much to do as there is these days. You know, very few businessmen have time to leave their offices for lunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Reynolds, I was just going to have a cup of hot chocolate and a sandwich. Won't you lunch with me?
No. I wouldn't think of it. Besides, Miss Greenwood, I'm afraid I've come here with some pretty serious news about the Barton estate.
Well, I asked Judge Cronin for a full report before I left for Hollywood.
Well, the judge turned it over to me, and I've been working on it for the past few weeks.
It's all right, isn't it, Mr. Reynolds? You know, the Barton estate is all the children have.
Well, the estate is far from all right. In fact, Miss Greenwood... things look pretty hopeless.
Hopeless?
Yes.
I see. Well, Mr. Reynolds, I'll get the chocolate and a little lunch for you, and then we can talk about it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very delicious, Miss Greenwood. Where did you ever learn the trick of making a salad like this? Now, don't tell me you just threw it together.
No, I found out about this salad when I was in vaudeville. The audience threw it together.
You know, I can't understand how you can be so cheerful after looking over these papers on the Barton estate. Look at the income from this list of securities. Look at the total. Don't you realize what that means?
Yes, they didn't have to invent adding machines for us, did they?
Well, I admire your courage, Miss Greenwood. But you can't laugh off facts. You can see from this statement the Parker children are in danger of losing everything.
Well, Mr. Reynolds, we're not going to let that happen.
But I don't see how you can stop it. The Parker children were left this house, which is heavily mortgaged, a few securities which pay almost nothing, that lunchroom down by the high school, and the farm.
Oh, the farm. Oh, it's such a beautiful farm.
Yes, but the land is not productive. We haven't been able to find anyone interested in buying or renting it.
But the lunchroom, Mr. Reynolds, that's been a sound investment, hasn't it? I see, nothing to speak of.
Miss Greenwood, the lunchroom caters only to school children. It was closed all during the summer and didn't bring in a cent.
But it's open now?
Well, now it brings in a cent. Frankly, Miss Greenwood, the lunchroom barely pays for itself. And, well, the bank no longer thinks it's a sound investment. They intend to call in their loan.
I see. And that loan is for,
$1,200. Oh. There isn't that much ready cash available in the entire Barton estate.
Well, you've got to find some other way.
Of course, Miss Greenwood, you could pay the loan yourself out of your own personal funds.
My paying off the bank wouldn't have any value.
Well, it would save the lunchroom for the children.
For the moment, yes. And then what? You see, Mr. Reynolds, this is the children's estate. It was left to them in trust to work for them. So when they'd have an inheritance when they come of age, and we must find a way to make it work for them.
Miss Greenwood, you've got to understand that money isn't a slave, it's the master.
It's neither, Mr. Reynolds. Those who think that money is a slave become slaves to it. And those who think it's the master become slaves to everything else. A man who seeks gold for its own sake may succeed in making a lot of money, but he fails to make anything out of himself.
Ah, that may be, Miss Greenwood. But these are the cold facts. Either lose the lunchroom or raise $1,200.
Well, we'll see, Mr. Reynolds, if those cold facts can't be warmed up a bit. Incidentally, how about another cup of warm chocolate, huh?
Mm, no. I've had my fill.
What's so funny?
Well, you know, there must have been a method in my madness. Thinking you were the cook because you suddenly can cook.
Well, save me from my awful blunder of thinking that you were a gardener. What can you grow?
Fat.
Well, at any rate, Mr. Reynolds, the next time you come to this house, I promise you a warmer reception.
Well, it's been very enjoyable afternoon, Miss Greenwood, but I really have to go now.
Well, I'll see you to the door.
Thank you. As for that $1,200 loan, I'll do all I can for you, and of course, I'll let you know if there's any change in the bank's plan.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
Yes, thank you. Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Reynolds.
Charlotte, who's that man? Never saw him before.
No, darling. Mr. Reynolds just came to Lakeview.
Gosh, was he really starving like he said?
He really had a good appetite.
I don't see how he could be starving. I got a good look at him, and he's mostly stomach. Gosh, Aunt Charlotte, did he come here just to get something to eat?
No, dear, it seems that he must have money, $1,200, and we've got to get it for him.
Why, Aunt Charlotte?
Well, I'll explain it to you a little later, dear, when Jack and Barbara get home.
But how are we going to get all that money?
Save the questions for later, Robert. I've got to go over to Matilda Hamilton now. There are a few questions I want to ask that she may be able to answer.
Thursday is Thanksgiving, and probably not since the days of the Pilgrims has our country had greater reason to give thanks, this first peacetime Thanksgiving in 4 years. Yes, this year many families will be reunited on Thanksgiving Day. But to those who will not be able to be at home on that joyful occasion, we can send a bright touch of home through a warm Thanksgiving Day card. Go to your Hallmark dealers this week. Select a card for a friend, for your sweetheart, or for some member of your family who will be away at Thanksgiving. Or if you yourself will not be able to spend Thanksgiving with your dear ones, choose a card that tells them you'll be there in spirit. Yes, for Thanksgiving or any occasion, there's always a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. And don't forget, there's still time to send Christmas cards to our boys overseas. To reach them by Christmas, your card should be in the mail by November 15th. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Mr. Reynolds, the new attorney for the Barton estate, has told Aunt Charlotte she must raise $1,200 to pay off a loan at the bank. It's later that afternoon, and Aunt Charlotte has hurried over to discuss the problem with Matilda Hamilton.
Matilda, it's not a question of raising $1,200. The important thing is whether that lunchroom can be made a paying proposition.
Well, it hasn't so far, Charlotte.
But it's serving a good purpose there, right across the street from the high school, isn't it? The children do need a place where they can get hot lunches.
Well, the school board has been discussing the possibility of setting up a cafeteria service at the school. Now, if that goes through...
Oh, I see. I wonder if that's why the bank is calling in the loan.
Frankly, Charlotte, I think that lunchroom is more of a liability to Barton Estate than it is an asset. Why don't you let the bank take it over, sell it, pay off the loan, and get what you can out of it for the children?
Matilda, I'd only do that as a last resort.
Well, you've certainly got your hands full, taking care of the Barton children and everything else you're mixed up in.
This keeps me hopping.
It seems to me it's like trying to walk on both sides of the street at the same time.
Ah, that I can do without hopping.
Hope I'm not late. Hiya, Barbara.
Aunt Charlotte not home?
Nope, I was just telling Barbara. Aunt Charlotte went over to see Mrs. Hamilton about some poor old man that was starving.
Starving?
Yes. Aunt Charlotte gave him some food, and Robert heard him tell Aunt Charlotte that she saved his life.
Well, who is this guy?
Mr. Reynolds. And Aunt Charlotte says he needs $1,200, and she's going to give it to him.
$1,200? You know, Barbara, that's the trouble with Aunt Charlotte. She's so kind-hearted, she lets everybody play on her sympathy.
You're absolutely right. It's high time somebody around here began looking out for Aunt Charlotte. Oh, I'll go.
How do you do?
Yes?
Would you please tell Miss Greenwood that Mr. Reynolds is here?
Oh, so you're Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds, Miss Greenwood is our aunt, and there isn't anything we wouldn't do to protect her.
Hmm? Protect her? From what?
Mr. Reynolds, Lakeview is a very progressive little town, and we have institutions here where you can go for help.
For help? What kind of help?
Oh, you're not fooling us. You're trying to tweedle Aunt Charlotte out of $1,200.
We just want you to know you're not going to get 1 cent.
So you can just take it from there.
Bob, what do you mean, Bob?
Oh, here's Aunt Charlotte now.
Hello, children. Oh, Mr. Reynolds, I didn't expect you.
Oh, don't worry, Aunt Charlotte.
I don't think this man will give you any more trouble.
Trouble?
Well, it seems the children have decided you're not going to pay 1 cent of the money.
That's right, Aunt Charlotte. After all, you're not a gold mine. You're not a Maharaja. You're not a Mrs. Vanderbilt.
I'm not even a Mrs.
Now, we've decided to straighten you out.
Well, where do you see any curves? Mr. Reynolds, I'm sorry this had to come. Well, come about this
room. Oh, dear, now, who is that?
Oh, hello, Mr. Reynolds. Thank you, Vester. You see, Mr. Reynolds, I haven't had a chance to talk this over with the children, and I did want to speak to them about it before you did.
No, I didn't speak to them about it at all. And I wish you'd explain to them that I'm neither a scoundrel nor an object of charity.
Children, what have you done?
Done?
Well, Mr. Reynolds is a new attorney for your estate. The $1,200 is to pay off a loan on the hot lunchroom.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Miss Greenlawn.
Who is it, Sylvester?
The man for the old clothes. So I gave him everything that was on the sale, like the term.
Thank you, Sylvester.
Yeah, sir. Might have gone overcoat there. Seemed like new.
A new overcoat? Why, there wasn't any overcoat on that chair.
Well, that's my overcoat. Good grief, man. Did you give away my overcoat?
Well, I don't know. I almost did.
Oh, Sylvester, you've got to get that coat back. Which way did the man go?
South, Miss Greenwood.
Well, north or south? North or south?
North or south? Must have been.
Miss Greenwood, don't you even know who the man is?
Well, I know he's a gardener. Look, Mr. Reynolds, Mrs. Hamilton knows him. I'll phone her and we'll get your coat back by evening.
By evening? You don't seem to understand that I'm a busy man. What am I going to do until evening? It's cold. It's raining out.
Well, you could stay for dinner.
And if I... did you say dinner?
If you like my cooking, oh, wait till you try Sylvester's.
Yes. I'm making sweet and sour shortbread.
Ah, how does that sound to you, Mr. Reynolds?
Oh, now, how did you know that was my favorite dish? I suppose I could stay. Sweet and sour shortbread.
Sylvester, I poured the vinegar over the meat like you told me. But it smells awful funny.
Oh.
Don't be silly, son. The combination of sweet and sour has...
Oh, Sylvester, did you take that vinegar label off the bottle you got the turpentine in?
No. Not yet, Miss Greenwood. Yes, maybe I better do that right now.
Creepy caterpillars, Miss Greenwood. Do you mean those luscious, delectable short ribs have turpentine all over them?
Yes, that's right. It was a turpentine.
Miss Greenwood, I'm a patient man, but there's a limit. From the way this house is run, all the confusion, chaos, disorder, it's no wonder the estate is in such bad shape. Well, it's useless for me to try to do anything about it. The final word is the bank is calling in the loan.
You mean immediately?
You'll have to raise that $1,200 by tomorrow afternoon, or you lose the lunch room.
$1,200?
Yes. Yes, and it'll be hard enough for you to raise the interest on that figure.
Not as hard as raising interest in my figure.
Miss Greenwood, this is hardly a matter to joke about.
Well, getting excited or depressed isn't going to help any.
According to you, every cloud has a silver lining.
It has, and if you were as tall as I, you could see for yourself.
I'm getting out of this madhouse. Before I go, Miss Greenwood, I just want you to know one thing. What do you intend to do about the $1,200?
I'm going to get it, Mr. Reynolds, or else.
Or else by tomorrow afternoon, lose the lunchroom.
No, Mr. Reynolds, I think there's another possibility.
Jack and Robert were here looking for you. Seemed mighty worried.
Where are they now?
I don't know, Miss Greenwood. And Barbara telephoned. She seemed mighty worried, too. And I'm worried. And aren't you?
No, Sylvester. When you're in a serious predicament, you need strength and courage, and worrying doesn't give me either one of them.
Me neither, Miss Greenwood.
Then why worry?
I don't know.
I'll go. That may be the children back now. Oh, hello, Mr. Reynolds. Oh, come in. I see you got your coat back.
Yes, I did, thank you. And I'm sorry I was so upset yesterday. I always get that way when I eat.
I know, when you don't eat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very sorry, and I'm sorry to have to do this.
What, Mr. Reynolds?
Well, you haven't forgotten that today is that tomorrow that we discussed yesterday.
Now, Mr. Reynolds, there's only today. Tomorrow doesn't exist.
I'm afraid it does, Miss Greenwood. There's the deed to the lunchroom. I brought it over for you to sign.
Did you have to do that?
Oh, I did everything I could to avoid doing it. I spent an hour with Mr. Lee at the bank yesterday. He refused to extend the loan another day. You know why?
Yes, he was hungry.
Miss Greenwood.
Of course I know why he refused to extend the loan. With things as they were, the lunchroom was a poor investment for his bank.
Then you agree with him?
Certainly. I told Mr. Lee so himself. You see, I just came from the bank.
You did?
I'm surprised that you even tried to ask for a loan extension under the circumstances.
Yes, but I'm the Bart Insurance attorney. It was my duty to get an extension if I could.
Not when it wasn't a sound investment for everyone concerned.
Hmm? Oh, well, what's the use? Women simply don't understand about business.
Women are interested in so many other things. Books, love, music, love, art, love.
That's fine, Miss Greenwood. Now, if you'll sign here...
Wait a minute, Aunt Charlotte. Don't sign anything.
Oh?
But we saved the lunchroom, Aunt Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte, we've been out doing things.
Oh, these days, the younger generation is hep.
Charlotte, I bet when you were my age, you didn't even know what the score was.
Oh, I knew what the score was, but I never got in the game. Children been doing?
Oh, nothing to worry about anymore, Aunt Charlotte. We're in. Alan Gregory's offered to buy my old jalopy for $50.
And Randy's going to give me a dollar for my catcher's mitt and 10 cents for the top. And
with $100, Jack and I have in our savings.
Oh, children, you're sweethearts. It's wonderful of you.
Well, that comes to $151 and 10 cents.
$151 and 12 cents.
Huh?
Randy gave me 10 cents for the top and 2 cents for the string.
Yeah, so that's $151 and 12 cents. And not quite $1,200, but...
Robert, you shouldn't have sold that top so cheap.
Well, anyway, Aunt Charlotte, if the bank will take that dough on account, we figured that...
I'm afraid, son, the bank won't take anything on account. You see, I spoke to Mr. Lee at the bank and...
Oh, excuse me a moment.
Hello?
Yes, this is she. Yes? Oh, that's fine. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Well... That's the call I've been waiting for, children.
Well, what is it, Aunt Charlotte?
The bank isn't going to call in the loan at all.
They're not, but only yesterday...
Oh, there you go, Mr. Reynolds. First you frightened us with tomorrow, and now it's with yesterday, when neither of them...
Yes, I know. Neither of them exist.
But why isn't the bank going to call in the loan?
Yeah, why not?
What happened?
Yeah.
Can't you see, children, I was out this morning doing things, too.
What things?
Calling on businessmen, busy businessmen, the busiest I could find. Big businessmen like you, Mr. Reynolds, who are too busy to go out for lunch.
Well, I don't understand.
I signed them up for a super deluxe box lunch service, steaming hot lunches delivered right to their desk.
What an idea! You can sign me up for that right now.
Ah, you have a complimentary listing already, Mr. Reynolds, because you gave me the idea. You told me there were a great many businessmen who didn't have time to leave their desks to go out for lunch, and you were right.
But I didn't...
Yes, you did, and you were grumpy, and the reason was that you hadn't eaten. It's mighty important these days that our men do a good job. And if I know anything about men, which is very little, I know they can't do a good job on an empty stomach.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that old saying is still true. The surest way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
And in your case, we'll take a little bit of a detour, huh?
But seriously, Miss Greenwood, what about the bank?
Well, when I showed Mr. Lee how I had all those standing orders for lunches, he signed up himself. And he said that he'd take up the matter of the loan with the board of directors once more. And, well, you just heard the news.
And I said women didn't understand business. Miss Greenwood, it was a brilliant maneuver. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they voted you the Woman of the Year and put your picture on the cover of Time magazine.
Oh,
gosh, Aunt Charlotte, has your picture ever been on the front of a magazine?
I almost made the Saturday Evening Post once.
As a cover girl?
No, as the Post.
Remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you've cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, a child asked me this morning, what does Armistice Day mean? Is it holiday or birthday? Is it something in between? Why does everyone stay quiet for a minute, maybe two? Aunt Charlotte, what's the silence for? What good does quiet do? And I realized, as I answered in the clearest way I could, that the child had spoken wisdom. That mere silence does no good. For though many use that silence as the plan is meant to pray, there are others who forget it amidst the problems of the day. And I thought, might it be wiser if we used our powers of speech and raised a cry against all war to everyone in reach? For if everyone in mankind spoke aloud against all war, no future child would ever ask, what's all the silence for? And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, Mr. Charles Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday.
Cross and join. They need you. This is the American Broadcasting Company.